talk to you this morning, to people. I want to talk to you as a congregation, to those that are watching online. Have you ever found yourself just repeating some of the same things over and over? It's like Alex said a while ago, you know, you never set out to do that, but you end up doing it anyway. You never thought you was going, you know, I never had intended to be an alcoholic. It just started with one drink and it just escalated. And now I find out I have to have a drink at every meal. Now I have to have a drink before I go to bed. Now I have to have a drink at 9 o'clock in the morning. And before long, it's just escalated to where you have become what you don't want to say is an alcoholic. But we've all been in those situations where it just seems like we go around the same mountain. If it's not year after year, it's every 6 months or every 5 weeks. Or some of you have a problem getting through 1 week with going around that same mountain. Can I hear an amen this morning? And I just want to share with you some news this morning about breaking out of some of the ruts that we find ourselves in. And if anybody's ready to quit walking around in circles and going around those same mountains and you want to get free from this cycle of dysfunction, I want to help you this morning, because I don't know of anybody here today that hasn't had to face those situations. And you may have gotten victory in one area, but we still may have an anger problem that we have to deal with. We may have a mouth problem that we have to deal with. Don't laugh, Alice. We all may have a mouth problem that we have to deal with, or a foul mouth problem that we have to deal with, or a quick, short-tempered. And so and we find ourselves just accepting that way of life. We find ourselves, well, it's just the way God made me. I'm going to live that way. But I've got news for you. God did not make you that way. God made a way for you to escape that way. And instead of living life, we're just accepting life. Living in a rut and living in the same things that we thought we had victory over. And, you know, sometimes people just accept the attitude, well, whatever will be, will be. How many's heard that before? Well, you know, there's nothing we can do about it. God's in control, so whatever will be, will be. Then why did God give us so many opportunities to obey him and be blessed, or disobey him and be hurt, right? Why, I know God is sovereign, and I have a definition for that, but that's not today's message. But listen, whatever will be will not what will be, because whatever will be what you permit. Do you understand me this morning? Whatever you permit is what will be. And I just want to announce to some of you this morning that's ready to change, ready to get out of those ruts, that today's the day that you can break out of that cycle. Today's the day that you can break out of that rut. Today's the day that you can get out of that place where you have been stuck, because God wants you to advance in his kingdom, not stay in the same place you were 5 years ago. It troubles me when I see people in church. Can I speak as a pastor? It troubles me when I see people in church that have been in church for 5 years, but they've not grown spiritually. It troubles me when people have been in church for 1 year and they've not grown spiritually. Why are we not growing? Why are we not developing more our spiritual man and walking with God? And so I just want to share, my assignment today is this. Help me, Lord, I'm stuck. Help me, God, get out of this. I'm stuck. I need your help, Lord. I am stuck. And we're going to be reading from 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 14. I will be drinking frequently this morning because the habit still has me. My mouth is still dry, so bear with me today. Have you found the scripture? Let's go. I'm writing to you, dear children. I'm writing to you, dear children, because your sins have been what? Say it out loud. Your sins have been forgiven on the account of your good works and all the good things that you've done. And because you go to church every Sunday, and because you give 10% of your income to the church, or because you support missions, or because on account of his name. Come on. Look what it says. Your sins have been forgiven on account of his name. Everybody say his name. Amen. Now, look at the next line. I'm writing to you fathers. Everybody say fathers. Because you know him who is from the beginning. I'm writing to you young men. Everybody say young men. Amen. Because you've overcome the evil one. And I write to you dear children. Say children. because you know the Father. I write again, fathers, because you know him is from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you are strong and the word of God lives in you and you have overcome the evil one. There's a whole lot of people that are thrust into circumstances because other people have made decisions for them. Not everything bad that happens to you is your fault. Sometimes it's the result of other people's choices. Amen? If you'll remember the grandson of Saul, Mephibosheth, he was dropped when they realized that David's army was approaching their house, and the maid dropped Mephibosheth, the grandson of Saul, and because of that dropping, he was crippled his whole life. It was nothing that he had done. It was no fault of his own, but somebody dropped him. Listen, somebody can drop you and mess you up. Is that all right? It may not be your own doing. However, with that being said, a lot of things that happen to us is because of our choices and because of our own decisions. Amen? Maybe you've been dropped. Maybe you were dropped by an employer. Maybe you were dropped by a spiritual leader. Maybe you were let down and dropped by an abusing husband or a wife that wanted a divorce or whatever, and it left you to be shattered. And, it's there's so many things that could happen, but people get dropped, don't they? We all get dropped. Sometimes it's not our fault. It's not our fault we're born with physical deficiencies. It's not our fault that we're born with certain things in our life. Can I hear an amen? Amen. Amen. And so, but most of the time, I would say that our horrible experiences is because of the result of the decisions we've made. And you know why we don't like that? Because we want to blame somebody else. You know why we don't like this kind of teaching? Because it puts the responsibility back on us. We want to blame everybody else for our failings, or because we didn't make it, or because we wasn't successful. But I want to tell you something. We've all become broken, amen? I've been broken. I know that probably really surprises you, but we've all been broken. Come on, we've all been broken. And you know what? I'll go this far and say this, my brother. I've been broken because of some bad decisions I've made. Oh, it hurt. Did I really say that? Yes, I did. And some of you could say the same thing if you were bold enough. We've all been broken by some bad decisions that we have made. But my message to you this morning is this. Jesus is greater than all your broken pieces in life. He is greater than anything that you have done. You cannot make God stop loving you. He's greater than all of our deficiencies. He's greater than all of our dysfunctions. He's greater than all of our weaknesses. He's greater than everything that's been holding you up or slowing you down. God is greater, and thank God. Thank God he's greater than that. Life is not just about survival. I feel sorry for people when you ask them, how you doing? Well, I'm surviving. To me, surviving sounds like you're just barely making it. Surviving? Well, I'm surviving. Oh, I'm making it. I'm making it. Listen, Jesus didn't come to give us life to just make it. Hello? He didn't come to give us life just to barely get through. Life was meant to be lived. Solid rockers and those watching, listen to me. Life was meant to be lived. And some of you here today are not living life. Some of you watching online, you are not living life. You're existing. You're getting by. You're surviving. But Jesus came to give us life more abundantly. If you can shout amen, try it. Amen. So my assignment today is to talk to you about being stuck in an old season, and you've never moved on. You've never been able to move on. You're still stuck in the past. You realize that people that are stuck in the past probably aren't going to make it to the 21st century, right? Somebody mentioned earlier the old paths. I believe, again, it was Alex talking about the old paths, the old ways, and we thought that meant the ways of our grandparents and the ways of I don't know about you, but I don't want to go back to the ways of my grandparents. I don't even want to go back to the ways of my parents. We lived in houses and pastored churches. You know, we didn't have three bedrooms and a bath. We had two bedrooms and a path. How many knows what I'm talking about? We had two bathrooms and a path. And guess what? The church also had a path. We're going way back, aren't we? Not back as far as you think. But we get stuck in an old season. We get stuck and we're not able to move on. And with that being said, sometimes people get stuck in the former glory. What God did 20 years ago, you want to go back and relive what God did 20 years ago. And God's on a brand new path right now. You know, there's been different glories and different movings of the Holy Spirit. There's been different waves come through the body of Christ. And we've lived long enough and pastored long enough to have been through quite a few of them. And every time one comes around, we want to jump on it and surf it to the shore. We want to ride that glory wave. Yes, we do. But listen, it don't last forever. How many knows that wave comes in and then it goes back out? But we want to hang on to that wave that came out here 20 years ago. And God says, hey, I'm past that wave. I've got something better than that wave right now. Yeah, that was good in its day. I used that for people to get born again, healed, delivered, and set free. But I've got another wave for you today. But we're stuck in the old paths. Is that right? Old paths. And if you're going to grow, and I believe many of you want to grow. I believe there may be some that never want to grow, but if you want to grow in the Lord, it's going to require upgrading. Look at your neighbor and say, upgrading. Growth demands constant upgrading. Some of you may not know it. Some of you probably don't even care, but the sound people around here remind me quite often that we need upgrade. We need upgrading. I mean, we just bought a new board 5 years ago, and now we need upgrading. How many knows they don't give those things away? Oh, I'm a church. Could you give me a soundboard? These microphones are old school. They have to be changed out every 5 years. Some things require upgrading. Some of you still using Windows DOS? Y'all still using MS-DOS? Nobody. Do you remember the big floppies? They were actually floppies. The newer ones that they called floppies weren't floppy, but they were, what, 3.5, Luke? 3.5? What was the bigger ones? 5.25. Do anybody remember the 5.25 discs? That was our first computers that we had at our school that we taught here when we had computer classes. It was a something 64. What was it? Commodore 64. Do you know that if we wouldn't upgrade, we probably wouldn't have too many people interested in computer science? Amen? How many knows you can buy an iPhone, the newest iPhone that comes out, and within a year, it will be outdated? They get you sucked into wanting to upgrade every year and spending more and more money, and it only does maybe one or two more things than your last one did, but they're always upgrading. They're making faster speed, quicker internet connections. They're doing greater memory, greater cameras, you know. And so if we're going to grow, we're going to have to learn to upgrade. And I'm going to tell you what, there's some people in Solid Rock. I love you. I love you. I love you. I love you. But you need to upgrade your things. It's time to upgrade your Bible study, upgrade your Bible reading. You need to upgrade your church attendance. You need to upgrade. You need to make an effort to learn and to grow more in the Lord than where you were at a year ago. We're going to grow. We're going to learn. We're going to mature. Can I hear a good amen? Amen. So I'm going to prophesy over you right now. In fact, I'm going to give a word of prophecy over this church. I wrote it down. Are you ready? Change is here to stay. Isn't that a great word from God? Change is here to stay. We can't settle into the old ways. Now, I'm old fashioned, and my staff just, you know, loves to tease me about it. But I love the old songs like Victory in Jesus and Oh, I Want to See Him. And I love some of those songs. I love that one Darlene does. My God is real, for I can feel him in my soul. And, you know, I love those old songs. And, man, it does something to the inside of me. I can hear some David Ingalls songs. You have no idea who that is. But David Ingalls came out a few years ago doing all praise and worship courses. And I listen to David Ingalls, and I can get into the presence of God almost instantly. But we don't throw away all the new songs. How many knows we got to upgrade once in a while? If we were still singing, "Oh, I want to see him," or "Victory in Jesus," some of you may not even be here. Amen? Everybody say this with me. Change is here to stay. Amen. Okay, I'll skip that part. If you don't believe change is here to stay, go home and look in the mirror, or better yet, turn your camera on and look at yourself. And then go home and look at your yearbook picture. And I'll tell you, change is here to stay. Can I hear an amen? Amen. Look at somebody and say, change is here to stay. Amen. You're changing. We're all changing. So look, I want you to see this. This is Uncle Gary and I about 70 years ago. I want you to tell us if we've changed. Can we blow that up? Look at that. That was me 72 years ago. That was Gary 72 years ago. I mean, he was so cute, wasn't he? We were both adorable. We both have the same kind of cowboy boots on, cowboy shirts. Uncle Gary, you were so cute. I don't know what happened, but you were so cute. But I'm going to tell you something. We didn't stay like that, did we? We didn't stay like that. Look at this next picture. I don't remember. This one was, I was probably about 13 there. That's old Wavy Roads right there. And I was about 14 years old right there. And I've changed a little bit. But look at this next one. This was about 2013. Got a little hair on his head still. Still got a good-looking face. No wrinkles, no bags, not a whole lot of gray hair. I mean, still looking pretty cool, right? But now look at this. This was last week. That's what I sent to get my visa. That's the picture I took of myself to get my visa. Listen, we're changing. I look different than I did in my high school yearbook. Everybody said life's changing. Life is continually moving. And if you're not moving with life, you're getting stuck into the past. And the past will become dull. The past will become, the word I'm thinking of is when food ruins. Spoiled, yeah. It'll become spoiled. And so we must constantly be upgrading. Everybody shout upgrade. So in our text, John uses the word father, young men, and children. Now that could be three levels of maturity, but I think a little different this morning. I think it's something that we have to realize that we never stop being a child, we never stop being a young man, and we never stop being an old man or daddies or whatever they call it there. I never quit being a child, even when I became a father. My wife teases me all the time. She says, grow up. You need to grow up. You're still acting like a child. I will always be a child. I will always be somebody's child, right? I will always be the son of J.H. Rhodes, right? So I'm still a son. Even though I'm 70-something years old, I'm still a son. And he goes on and he says, you don't quit being a child and become a young man. I remember when my firstborn child was born in 1973, I'm still a father to her. She's still a young person to me. How many knows it's hard to look at your 50-year-old children and say they're young? How many know some of us parents that are up there, we treat our 50-year-old kids like they're still little kids? Come on. We all get caught in that trap of treating them like, I look around at Dwayne and I look around at Luke and some of these older men and Lou. And I remember when they were just kids coming to church. And you know what? It's hard for me to remember that they're not kids anymore. They're grown men, families of their own. And so he's not saying quit becoming a child, because how many knows we need to be childlike in a lot of areas. Can I hear an amen? We need to be child. You know what childlike is? It's believing anything your daddy says. If your daddy's in the pool and he says, jump to me, I'll catch you. You don't care how deep the water is, you'll jump into his arms because you know daddy will catch you, right? So he's not saying quit being a child, because children, he said, unless you become like little children, isn't that what the Bible says? You've got to become like little children. And sometimes people become little children, but then they grow up to be old nags. Come on. This is just your pastor loving on you this morning. He's not saying quit becoming a child. He's not saying quit becoming a young man. And when you become a father, we're you know what? Some of you in here don't realize this, but you're fathers to a lot of people in this church. You may not have any children of your own, but you know some of these little young ones look up to you with that fatherly image. Can I hear an amen? And so I believe what the Apostle John is saying here, he's trying to explain to us that there are changes in each of our lives. We all have to change, but we don't forget about what we were or where we come from. Amen. And so it's easy to get stuck in one of these changes, you know, or stages. We get stuck in these stages, and I think, you know, sometimes people are stuck in the babyhood stage. I say, come on, dear God, folks, it's time to grow up. You've been in church for 6 years now. Surely you know the Bible. Surely you know the Word. I want to read you something if I can find it. I don't even know. Oh, help me, Jesus. Did I put it in here? Pardon me. Oh, yeah, I did. I put it in here last minute. If Christians, I heard this yesterday at a conference. If Christians read their Bible 4 times a week, write this down, talk it into your microphone, or don't forget this, go back and watch it and listen it again. If Christians would only read their Bible 4 times a week, 30 minutes, 4 times a week, listen to this, feeling lonely drops 30%. I wish I had the graphic for you. Here, can you see that? Feeling lonely drops 30%. Anger issues drop 32%. 3 to 4 hours a week. 3 to 4 hours a week reading your Bible, anger issues drop by 32%. Listen to this. Bitterness in relationships. Come on, honeys. Come on, honeys. Listen. Bitterness in relationships drops 40%. Reading your Bible 3 to 4 hours a week. It's a proven statistic. Barna Research did this research, and it's very recent. Listen to this. Alcoholism in Christianity. Alcoholism drops 57% when you read your Bible 3 to 4 hours a week. Doesn't that blow your mind? Feeling spiritually stagnant. This is what I'm preaching on today. Feeling spiritually stagnant drops 60%. Some of you guys might want to go back and write this down. This will blow your mind. If you read your Bible 3 to 4 hours a week, viewing porn drops 61%. It blows my mind that there's even that many. But it drops 61% if you read your Bible 3 to 4 times a week. 30 minutes at a time. 2 hours a week, 2.5 hours a week, viewing porn drops 61%. Now get this, this will blow your mind. Sharing your faith spikes 200%. Sharing your faith will spike 200%. You know why? Because you're going to read something. It's going to stand out to you. It's going to minister to you. And what ministers to you, you want to minister to other people. Your personal witnessing will spike 200%. And here's another one. Discipling others spikes 230%. We fall very short at Solid Rock in discipling others. And we need to get on track. We've got to get on track around here because discipling others is one of the main things that we were told to do by Jesus before he left this earth. Can I hear a good amen? Amen. Amen. Okay, so where am I at now? Okay. I'm going to give you 3 points this morning to help you change. This is going to help you to change. Number one, write it down. Did I write these down, Kendra? Number one, you will never change what you're willing to tolerate. Amen. Is that right? That's right? Am I right, Gary? Whatever you allow, whatever you permit, whatever you just, oh, it's okay, it's okay, it's okay. You will never change you will never change what you're willing to tolerate, okay? You know what? As long as you're content to be in debt, guess what? You'll always be in debt. Amen? As long as you're content to be depressed, guess what? You'll always be content. Do you know some people like to wallow? I said, some people like to wallow in their discontent or in their stuff that they're going through. You know, some people like to wallow. You know why? Because they get attention. Am I doing okay today? I hope this helps somebody. As long as you're content to be depressed, you will never have a happy day. You might have 3 good days, right? But you'll have 4 bad days. And you'll never have a happy week because you're willing to tolerate depression. What you tolerate, you become. Whatever you tolerate, you be. I believe that's worth saying out loud for everybody. Whatever we tolerate is what we become. Say this one with me. Today's complacency becomes tomorrow's captivity. Can you say it again without my help? We've got to get beyond where we were at 10 years ago. We've got to get past it, amen. If you're in the same place you were 10 years ago and you're not growing, listen, you're already dead. If things don't grow, they're dead. Amen. I don't mean to be hard. I'm so tired of just tiptoeing around issues and tiptoeing around. Come on, church. It's time that we become the church of the Lord Jesus Christ and grow up into Him and stop getting our feelings hurt every time somebody looks cross-eyed at you. Amen. Yes. You've got to stop being so sensitive that if somebody doesn't shake your hand, you're going to quit the church. Listen, stop being so sensitive that this is not a perfect church. You thought it was perfect the first time you came, but you found out real quick. Pastor Rhodes is far from perfect. He has no filter. And as long as you understand that, we're going to get along. My wife keeps trying to help me. Amen. So I tell you what, it's time in the name of Jesus that we break off that complacency, off of our lives, off of our ministry, and we get to moving. Amen. High five somebody and say, get moving. Let's look again at verse number 2. We're talking about you will never change what you're willing to tolerate. Verse number 2, I write to you, little children, because your sins are forgiven. One of the places that we get stuck in is the place called sin. We get stuck in that sin because that's where the devil likes to keep you captive. He wants to, but listen, I love this because of... You're forgiven. I write to you, little children, because your sins are forgiven. The language implies an action that took place in the past and still has a present active work going on. I was forgiven 2,000 years ago, and that active work is still on today. It never dries up. It never dies up. Amen. Say this with me. The blood has never lost its power. Now, I'm going to blow your minds with this one, okay? This is going to make some of you stop and think. I'm going to read it the way I wrote it down. God did not wait until you walked to an altar to forgive your sins. You need to think about that? God didn't wait until you got up, raised your hand, say, I want to come to Jesus, and you walked down here, and when you said, Lord, forgive me, He forgave you. You know what? He forgave your sins 2,000 years ago at Calvary when He died on the cross. He forgave you. You just began at that point to accept it and receive it. You've got to receive it. But He forgave you 2,000 years ago, and we're the ones walking around with this big burden of sin on us thinking, God, how can I ever get rid of this? He got rid of it for you 2,000 years ago. We don't have to bear the burden of sin. This is good preaching. I might preach this in Africa. He forgave us. He forgave us so that you can never use your mess as an excuse to not be what He called you to be. Boy, that's a sentence, isn't it? Can I say it again? You can never use your mess as an excuse not to be what He called you to be because He forgave you 2,000 years ago. Isn't that good? Man, I tell you, I'm getting blessed here. I think I'm going to sit down there and say amen a couple times. We've never really understood the full power of forgiveness. We've never really fully understood the full power of forgiveness. Now, how many knows that sin produces guilt? Sin in a believer, in a believer, sin will always produce guilt. Now, we probably have all had times that we've felt guilty. Sin produces guilt. But now listen to this. Have you ever been forgiven but still felt guilty? Huh? Have you ever been forgiven? You know, I did something yesterday that I was coming home from Joplin, and we were coming through Steelville. How many knows what the speed limit is through Steelville, Missouri? 30 miles. Yeah, it's like 5. After doing 55 and come off that hill, it's like doing 5 miles an hour because you have to drop down to 30 miles an hour. And isn't it interesting? They're always sitting there at the park just waiting for you to blow by them at 40 miles an hour. But listen, have you ever, you say, well, I don't have any problem with guilt. Then why do you put on the brakes when a cop pulls in behind you? You can be doing the speed limit and a cop pull in behind you and you still put on your brakes. Maybe you're not speeding in, but 5 minutes ago you were. So I come off, we were coming back home. So I was coming through Steelville, approaching the park, and there was a state trooper sitting on my side of the road. So I flashed my lights at him to say hi. I just want to say hi. I'm still the chaplain of the highway patrol, but he don't know that. Right? And so it's probably 3 minutes later, I look in my rearview mirror, and here's a state patrol pulled up behind me with his red lights on. Now, I know I didn't do anything wrong, but I'm going to tell you something. You still feel guilty, don't you? I know I wasn't speeding because I knew it was 30 miles an hour. I've learned that, Luke, and I know you learned that a long time ago, too. 30 miles an hour in Steelville. Don't ever forget it because they're watching. Van Buren's another place, Doc. Another place you don't want to go speeding through. Van Buren's got speed traps everywhere down there. But listen, I knew I didn't do anything wrong, except maybe flash my lights, but maybe he thought I was flashing my lights at the oncoming people to warn them that there was a trooper sitting there. Unbeknownst to me, he wasn't after me. I pulled over, and he went around me and pulled the car over in front of me. Did I feel guilty for just a moment? I did. Do you ever get that sinking feeling when those lights come on and you realize maybe they're not after me? They go around you and all of a sudden you feel good. Listen, sin always produces guilt. Sin produces guilt. We've all felt guilty. We've all had that guilty conscience. And maybe there's somebody here today that you've never gotten beyond the guilt of the sin that you committed 10 years ago, 5 years ago, a year ago. I'm here to tell you and announce to you today, if it's under the blood of Jesus, it's under the blood of Jesus. If he don't remember it, you don't need to remember it. If he forgot it, you need to forget it. Oh, yeah, here's another thing. Sin produces guilt. Guilt produces shame. And when shame comes into your life, confidence goes out the window. I'm telling you, your confidence will go out the window. Oh, I know I'm gonna die when I go to heaven, but man, I just have no confidence. I feel like I'm not called to do this anymore. I feel like I can't do this anymore because I'm messed up. I'm not the man I used to be, and I'm not the woman I used to be, and I just got so much guilt. And I know I'm going to heaven, but man, I'm not very confident here when I'm on earth. You're stuck. You're stuck. And God wants to get you out of that stuckness this morning. I'm going to be praying for some people today. I won't call your name unless the Lord has me to. But there's some people in this church that are stuck, and we need to get set free today. Let me tell you what Romans 6:14 says. For sin shall not have dominion over you. For sin shall not be your master. Sin, the devil cannot make you sin. Amen? Man, somebody ought to praise him right now. Thank God for the blood of Jesus. Little children, listen to me. Listen to me. Your sins have been forgiven. I hope I wrote this in my notes. Oh, it's way over here on page 12. I'm probably not going to make it today. Okay. Look at Isaiah 1:18. Isaiah 1 and 18. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Real quickly, three things. I know I got another three things going, but let's do another three things. Number one, about forgiveness. Number one, forgiven carries the idea that the stain has been removed. Did you hear me? Forgiveness means the stain has been removed. That means, brother, you don't have to walk to the altar every time there's an altar call and repent for that sin that you did 15 years ago. Now, I know it may be haunting you, but you've just not received the forgiveness of the Lord yet. I know that, you know, it's probably holding you back, but you need to understand, we don't understand the forgiveness of the Lord. We don't understand the power of the blood of Jesus. Oh, we sing about it, don't we? We can sing, oh, the blood of Jesus, it washes white as snow. But do we really believe it? That I don't have to come back to the altar and repent for something I did 20, 25, 30, 40, 50 years ago. And you don't either. If you truly repented and gave it to the Lord, you are forgiven. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. God doesn't even remember. Somebody say, help me, Lord, I'm stuck. Number two, second thing about forgiveness is that forgiveness also means that the debt has been canceled. I'm giving you some different translations of the word forgiveness. The debt has been canceled. It literally means I remove the certificate of debt written against you. Now, let me tell you what religion does. Some of you may identify with this, but religion doesn't want you to forget about it, nor will they forget about it. Am I in the right church today? Austin, good to see you this morning. Thanks for coming. Religion says you got to keep paying for your sin that you did 30 years ago, 20 years ago, 10 years ago, 5 years ago. You got to keep paying for it. Ladies and gentlemen, that is not the God that I serve. That is not in the Bible that I read. And that is not what we teach at Solid Rock Family Church. Listen to what I wrote down here. There's people that's gone through divorces. They've gone through places where they failed. They've went through immoral affairs. They have failed financially. And the church said 10 years later, we know you're forgiven, but you've got to pay for it. We won't let you serve in a position in this church because we remember how you failed 10 years ago. You think I'm kidding? That's what religion does. As if nobody there had ever failed before. But Jesus said, I'm not going to let you stay stuck. I'm not going to let you stay where you used to be. The debt has been canceled. The third thing about forgiveness is this. Your sins are forgiven and the relationship is restored. When you sin against God, there is broken fellowship. Right? Am I right, Dr. Sue? There is broken fellowship. Sin will cause you to break fellowship with the Father. Why do you think, listen to this, you think I've went off on the deep end, but why did Jesus say on the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? Because he became sin for us that knew no sin, that we could become the righteousness of God in Christ, and God could not look upon his Son with sin. There was broken fellowship. Why have you forsaken me, God? Does anybody listen today? But forgiveness not only restores you, but it cancels the debt and it will cause that relationship to be fully restored. He canceled that debt the moment you said, Lord, I'm sorry I sinned. Listen, man, I'm turned on this morning. Forgive me. I mean, if that's what you want to call it, I'm just excited. Guess what? Forgot what I was going to say. Now I'm wrapped up in the bush. Oh, Lord, why did I do that? Why do I do that? The debt has been canceled. You've been restored. Oh, I know what I was going to say. Because it's not even in my notes. It was the Holy Ghost that reminded me. So when you sin, you break not relationship, but you break fellowship. Now, church people have a hard time with this because they think every time you sin that God just forsakes you. And listen, if God forsook you, you would never be convicted to come and repent again. Did I say that clearly? When you sin, guess what happens immediately? You are convicted of that sin. Guess who's convicting you? It's the Holy Spirit. He will never leave you. The Bible says that Jesus will never leave you, never forsake you. And he said, I give you the Holy Spirit who will abide with you forever. So when I sin, instantly there will be a knowing in my heart that I've sinned against God. I don't have to pray about it. I don't have to read my Bible. I'll know in my heart when I've sinned against God. Now, here's what I've got to do from that point. That conviction is going to lead me to repentance or to harden my heart. And the moment I say, dear God, I'm so sorry I've sinned. I know sin has dominion over me, but has no dominion. But I was weak and I gave in. I fell short. Lord, I have sinned. Forgive me. Instantly that fellowship is restored. Are you still with me today? Am I boring anybody? Because if I am, I'll just keep preaching. Listen, fellowship is restored. You know when you've sinned. You don't want to talk to Jesus. You don't want to go to church. You don't want to have anything to do with God because that fellowship has been broken. But it's not broken forever. Amen? Oh, I got to hurry. Be thankful I'm skipping a lot. We were born to win. And I don't feel like losing. Do you know Jesus was born to win? Jesus never fought a devil? He cast him out. But he never had a fight with the devil, did he? If one approached him, he'd just say, go. And it had to leave. Jesus came to win. He didn't come to fight. Jesus came to win. Jesus came he came to overcome. He came to overcome. He never fought with sinners. He never fought with unbelievers. He never fought with doubters. He overcame, and he never fought with the devil. He never fought with sickness. He never had to fight with any of that stuff. He said, you are born to win. Since you've been washed in my blood, you are born to overcome. Sin shall not have dominion over you because I am more than... Romans 8:31, throw that up there. What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Throw up Romans 8:37. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that has loved us. He is writing to us in the book of John chapter 2 to tell us we have overcome. We've overcome. I come to help some people today that are stuck. You've been going around that mountain over and over and over. Today's your day. Time to get up and get going. Amen. Man, you may not have, you know what? You may not have the greatest weapon in the world, but how many knows God's never needed sophisticated weapons? If I remember right, he used a slingshot one time. That wasn't too sophisticated, was it? If I remember right, he used a rod one time to part the Red Sea. Is that right? Oh, if I remember right, he used a jawbone one time and Samson whooped 1,000 Philistines with the jawbone of a yonkey. We're born again to be an overcomer. Okay, one more thing here. I write these things to you fathers because you've known him from the beginning. I want to underscore that word, known him. We have known him. Are you listening? We have known him. But it's amazing how after a little bit of while, we get stuck in boredom. Listen, when you find yourself not wanting to come to church when the doors are open, you're stuck. When you lose your desire to sing and worship and praise God, you're stuck. Listen, folks, this is definitely a Pentecostal church. Now, we're not wild like the old-timers were or the old ways that you were talking about early. But I tell you what, I wouldn't mind for some of those old ways to come back once in a while and light our fire. Amen? But people find themselves bored. You know why? They've lost their passion. They've lost their desire. Hello? They've lost that burn on the inside of them. And you know what they say? Well, Pastor, I've been here for years and years. I've seen it all. And all of a sudden, skepticism rises up and you don't believe anything anymore. I'm going to read this again. When you've served God for so long that not being in the house of God no longer bothers you, you begin to enter the realm of boredom. Some people are no longer feel like it's important to be in fellowship with the saints. But John says, I'm writing to you fathers because you have known him. Yeah, you've been around a long time. You've been with him. You've been around long enough that even when you don't see him, you hear me? When you don't feel him, you've been around long enough that he doesn't have to be doing miracles and signs and wonders all the time to get you to believe that he's in the house. Amen. You don't have to have goosebumps to believe that he's in the house. You fathers know you've been around a long time, and you know that when you don't see him, he's still working. When I don't feel him, he's working. Darlene sings that song, and every once in a while, I find myself being a little bit critical of it because it says, I know God is real, for I can feel him in my soul. But I want to tell you something. There's times that I don't feel God in my soul, and he's still God. Amen? God is real, not because I feel him. God is real because he is God, and I have a relationship with him. Amen. My daddy's very much alive. My dad's alive. My dad is, I tell you what, can I just say this? Oh, I've got to say this because I feel like I should. Okay. Here's what I wrote down. The worship team, from the left to the right, front and center, the worship team was never meant to take your place in worship. Amen. The worship team was never meant for you to sit back and enjoy while they worship God. The worship team worships God. They set the stage. They set the sound. They set the rhythm. They set the words, and we join in with them. They're not here to entertain us, but we're here to worship with them. Okay. I want to say this. Somewhere it's in my notes. Oh, here it is. By the way, stop singing words you don't believe. Don't stand out there and sing words that you don't believe because you're lying. Hello, let me just give you, here's something we did this morning. We worship you for who you are. Really now. Do we worship him because of who he are, is? You are good all the time. All the time you are good. Listen, honey, if you're singing that song, you better be living that away. Don't be saying one thing and living something else. God is good all the time. Remember that miracle worker, way maker, what's the rest of it? Permanent, what kind? Promise keeper. Listen, if you're singing that song, don't be doubting if God is alive and working in your behalf. Here's another one. There is nothing that our God, these are songs we sang this morning. There is nothing our God can't do. Did you sing that today? You better stop whining and crying. Thank you, honey. That wasn't my words, but there's a little kinder than my words would have been. I'm going to tell you something. You never get so mature, you never get so wordy, so spiritual that you don't need to worship. Worship is a vital part of living for God. You never get mature so much that you don't need to worship. And there's people that get bored in worship services. So I have to wonder, is there a relationship there? Is there a broken fellowship there? Is something hindering somebody from worshiping God? You know what? You don't have to be, I mean, I can just walk up here on the stage during the songs and I can look out there and say, they're worshiping, they're not worshiping. You say, you're judging. No, I'm not. I'm watching your mouth. Okay. Sorry I said that. You know what? We've got to get past the point of having to feel something before we really get in to serving and worshiping and praising God. Is this okay, Carla? Why do we always think we have to feel something or see something? I believe this is a faith walk, Sister Becky. This is a walk by faith and not by sight. We walk by faith and not by feelings. Do you know how many times I've come up here to preach to you all and didn't feel like preaching? If you had to look, I didn't say it. People get bored in the presence of God. People get bored in church. I remember a time, Luke, when one or two people would raise their hand and walk the aisle to come down here and give their lives to Jesus. And you know what the audience was doing? Clapping and shouting and praising God that another one, another prodigal had come home. Another person had come to the Lord. There was excitement in the whole audience because one or two people was giving their life to Jesus. Now when somebody comes down, we think, oh dear God, it's going to be another 10 minutes before we get out of here. My goodness, what's wrong with us, church? We've gotten so soft, so time conscious. I mean, people, Dwayne, you remember those days. People would clap and shout and whistle because one person was walking the aisle to give their life to Jesus. And now it's ho-hum. Yeah, another prodigal come home. We've got to get past, okay, I'm going to close with this, I think. We've got to, Dwayne, I'll prove it just by you coming up here by yourself. In 5 minutes, I'll call Boomer up. And in 5 more minutes, I'll call the bass player up. We've got to get past the place that we're looking for the spectacular or feeling the goosebumps. What happens is when you start looking for that stuff, you're going to get way out here in left field. You're going to get way out there, and there's going to be goofy things begin to happen. And some of that goofy stuff is what's called, is what has caused the gifts of the Spirit, Pentecostalism, to get such a bad name. We're so hungry for the supernatural that sometimes it's even fabricated. Am I right? Is this okay, John? Can I hear an amen? I didn't hear that one. There you go. Okay. Roth? Okay. Now, there has been in the past, and I'm not talking about 20, 30 years ago. I'm talking about in the more recent past, 15, 10 years ago, where people got so hungry for the supernatural, people would quit the church because they couldn't. They said, well, we can't feel the presence of God anymore. We've had people quit the church because they said, well, the pastor wasn't anointed when he preached. And my question is, did you pray for me? Did you offer any prayers for me to at least try to preach on Sunday morning? And so what happened was, some of you are going to think this is far out, but there was places that were advertising, come to this church. God is moving. Supernatural signs and wonders. There's gold dust falling all over the church and all over the seats and all over the auditorium. And people would leave their own church, go to that church to see the gold dust. I believe in miracles and signs and wonders, but I don't go running after them and searching for them and trying to fabricate them. Okay, Dustin, you're getting uneasy. Come on up. You're next. Come to this meeting. You gotta come to this meeting. I'm telling you what, people are losing weight instantly. They're just standing. They're just standing, and they're praising God, and their pants are falling off because they lost so much weight. Am I right? Did we hear that? I mean, a circus can draw a crowd, can it? And I'm careful not to judge the move of the Spirit of God. I don't really see that in the Word of God. But God can do whatever He wants, right? He's God. But I'm saying if you run after that kind of stuff, you're going to end up being a weirdo. And God knows we have enough weirdos in the body of Christ already. Amen. I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about that church over there. I pointed to the field where there's no church. You ought to, if you'll just come to this church. Listen, we want to take some. Spirit of God is so strong in this place. Oh, you can smell the fragrance. You can just smell the presence of God. I've been before, and I tried sniffing, and I didn't smell anything. I'm either backslid. We met in the prayer room back here one day, and I don't know who all was with us, but I know Darlene was there. And we met in that little prayer room, and we were praying about something. And some lady said, "Stop, stop, stop, stop." Can't you just smell that? I looked at Darlene. Darlene looked at me. We looked around. I said, "I'm sorry, sister. I don't smell anything. I don't smell." And I didn't mean to be ugly. We didn't smell anything, did we? I mean, now maybe she did. Maybe she had on some kind of spicy lipstick or something. I don't know. Maybe she did. Why aren't you up here, Dustin? You think we got all day? It's afternoon. Yes. I will tell you this. I sent the picture to Gary and I sent it to Brother Victor. In one of the meetings here at the service at the church, there was a lady sitting about, I think she was on the second or third row, taking pictures from right over there, Josh Durkee's wife. She was taking pictures up here on the stage. And they were just as clear as they could be. I mean, bright, bright pictures. But then she took one more picture right in between those. And there was such a cloud, such a fog in this house. Did I see it? No, I didn't see it. Did I see the picture? I saw the picture. Did I see it with my natural eye? I didn't see it while we were in church. But I saw the picture. And if you want to see it, we got it. We can put it on Facebook and probably draw a lot of criticism. But there was just like a mist. You know what? That's scriptural. Because the Bible says that when they were preaching the word and reading the word, that the glory of God fell so thick, that the cloud was so thick, that people just began to fall over. They couldn't even stand to minister. People were falling over because of the presence of God. Listen, I'm glad we got the photo of that. But you know what we're not going to do? We're not going to advertise, "Come to Solid Rock and watch the fog." Unless you buy a fog machine, brother. You, Brother Dwayne.
Oh, I thought you were talking to Nick.
No, I'm not talking. Nick's got other things on his mind. People seek a sign. I need proof. I need to feel something. My God is real. Whether I see him, feel him, smell him, touch him, or he touches me, my God is real. Stand to your feet with me this morning. Don't leave. Hang on just for a few more seconds. Okay, Boomer, it's your turn to march. Come on up, Boomer. I think instead of looking for something more spectacular, we just need to be more passionate about God. Be more passionate about him. Seek his face, not his signs. Seek his face, not his wonders. Do I believe in signs and wonders? You better believe it. I've seen some. I know there's signs and wonders. We had a miracle happen right here at the conference, didn't we, Tiff? Tiffany slipped and fell. Her elbow was split open so bad it was such a big old gash. Nurse Carissa looked at it and said, "You're going to the hospital. We got to get that thing sewn up." That gap was wide. It was deep. Wouldn't stop, huh? It was gaping. And they put a towel around it to hold it, and it just kept bleeding and bleeding and bleeding. And they said, "We got to go to the hospital." And Krista said, "Let's go to Bonterre, to the center up there at the hospital, Parkland North." Oh, yeah, she also had a knot the size of a golf ball on her knee where she fell. Size of a golf ball. It was very evident. This was during the conference. How many know Satan likes to come and just mess things up? But how many knows God gets all the glory? Amen. Turn it around. Turn it around. Listen, if the devil's been after you, turn it around. Stop running from him and start chasing him. By the time they got up to the hospital, the doctor opened up the took off the stuff that was on it. Carissa said, "She needs surgery. She needs stitches. She needs stitches." And the doctor looked at it and said, "She don't need stitches." She said, "Look at this. Look how deep it is." And she looked at it, and it was already closing back up. Already closing. She don't need stitches. That knot, the size of a golf ball on her knee, it went away instantly. The minute hands were laid on her, that golf ball knot disappeared. Watched it disappear. Now, if God never did that, I'd still believe he's a miracle working God. He doesn't have to do that to prove to me that he's God. I don't have to run after spectacular to get him to believe that he's real. Amen. Who's next? Dylan. Come on, Dylan. Can't do it without Dylan. Gabe, can you beat him to the stage? How many appreciates these wonderful musicians? Can I tell you one more story? Only one. There was a man in the Bible by the name of Blind Bartimaeus. How many knows that guy was stuck? He was stuck in his blindness. He sat by the roadside begging. He was stuck. All he needed was something to eat, but he was stuck. Now let me tell you what he could do. He could walk. He could talk. He could hear. But there's one thing he couldn't do, and that was see. Do you know people in this room spend their waking hours worrying about what they don't have instead of what they do have? Blind Bartimaeus used the one thing that he did have. He used his voice, and he cried out, "Jesus of Nazareth, have mercy on me." He didn't cry about what he didn't have. He cried out with his voice, "Have mercy on me." It wasn't until blind Bartimaeus used what he had that he got what he needed. Man, I just said a powerful word right there. It wasn't until he used what he had till he got what he needed. I'm going to say it again. Say it with me. I forgot what I said. How did I say it? He used what he had. Exactly. That's what I thought I said. Jesus, Son of David, oh, will you help me? I'm going to use what I've got to get what I need. This might be the best message you've heard in 2025. Amen. I believe there's people here today that's bored with your relationship with God. I believe you're so bored that sometimes you just force yourself to come to church on Sunday mornings. It's a religious thing. It's a duty. My kids are watching me. I better go to church. There's people that's been serving God and you've just gotten cold and indifferent and just kept getting colder and colder. Now the passion and the desire that you used to have. There's people that used to come to church every Wednesday night that they've lost their passion for church. And now they come on Sunday mornings and that's great. I'm glad you're here. But listen, we have church on Wednesdays too. And I'm glad you're here. I'm glad you can make it. But listen, don't lose your passion to be in the house of God. We need one another. We need you. You need us. You need the church. So Bartimaeus said, "I'm going to use what I have to get what I need." Some of you today, you've been stuck. You've been in prison. You've been bound. You've been in a battle. You've been going in the same circle for year after year, fighting the same old devil. I just want to pray for you this morning. Here's what I'm going to do. I want you all to just come up to the front. And I said a while ago that I'm not going to lay hands on you, I'm not going to call you out. But if you don't come up, I might call you out. So come on up. Come on up. Do we need some singers up here? Come on up, singers. Come on up, singers. Come on up. Would you all just kind of be a little submissive this morning and come on up? Just be a little submissive this morning. Come on up. I'm not trying to control you, but I feel like there's a reason that God's wanted me to call you up today. And you don't have to get afraid to come to the front. It's okay. You can come as close as you want to. I'm saved, but I'm stuck. I haven't felt the presence of God in so long, I've even begun to question, is he really real? When I first came to this church, I really felt God. But now the longer I sit here, the less I feel him. I don't feel him like I used to feel him. I used to enjoy the preaching, but now I don't enjoy the preaching anymore. What's happened? What's going on? What's blocking us? What's freezing us up? What's holding us back? What's blocking us? What mountains are we just going around and around and around? This is not a condemnation message. I'm here today to help you get set free. I want to help you get set free. I'm not looking at anybody. I've got my eyes closed. Would you just lift your hands to heaven and say, Lord, that's me. I need help today. I need to get out of, I got to stop going around this same old mountain. I've got to start worshiping you because you're worthy of my praise. As Alex said earlier, I will bless the Lord at all times. Your praise will continually be in my mouth. I'm going to bless you, Lord. I'm going to praise my way out of this stagnation. I'm going to praise my way out of this battle. I will praise my way. Come on, lift your hands and start praising God. Come on, y'all are Pentecostal in this church today. Lift up your voice and begin to praising God. Begin to praise him, not with that mealy mouth. Come on, lift up your voice. Begin to praise him. God, you're awesome. You're awesome in this place, Lord. I worship you, Lord. You're worthy to be praised, God. I'm tired of going around this mountain. I'm ready to break out. I'm ready to break forth. I know my sins have been forgiven. Yes, I know my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. But today, Lord, I want to break out of that and begin to live the abundant life that you came to give me. I give it to you, Lord. I give you my struggles. I give you my hurts. I give you those bondages. I give you that alcohol. I give you that pornography. I give it up in the name of Jesus. I give it up in the name of Jesus. I give up that anger problem. I let it go. I give up that criticism. I'm going to stop judging everybody and criticizing people. Lord, I let it go. I let it go in the name of Jesus. I release it. I'm going to be sweeter to my wife. I'm going to be sweeter to my husband. I'm going to be the sweetest husband in the world. I'm going to be the sweetest wife in the world. Yeah, come on. Come on, praise him. Begin to praise him. Let him set you free right now. Let him set you free. Lift your hand. Begin to praise him. Today's your day. Today's your day. Today's your day. Today's your day. I'm not stuck anymore. I'm not stuck anymore. I'm rising up out of this. I'm rising up from day to day.
From day to day.
Oh, it will never, never, never. Sing it again, for it reaches to the highest mountain. Father, I thank you for the blood of Jesus. God, thank you for forgiving Ron. Thank you for forgiving Steve. Thank you, Lord, for forgiving Gary. Thank you, Lord, for forgiving Alice. Thank you, Lord, for forgiving Lori. Thank you, Lord, for forgiving Jeff. Thank you for forgiving Jacob. Thank you for forgiving Lou. Thank you for forgiving John. Thank you for forgiving Dr. Sue, Edna Sue. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for helping us. God, we determined to straighten it up. We're going to line it up today. We're going to line it up today. Dr. Sam, today's you're free in the name of Jesus. All those things that's been hanging over your head, those things in wonderment about what's next, what's next, what's next. The Lord says, you just listen to my voice. You listen to me and you'll not make a mistake. You'll go in the direction that I set forth for you. Just listen to me. Listen to me. Don't look at numbers. Don't look at people. Don't look at offers. Don't look. Listen to the voice of God. Listen to the voice of God. Let him lead you and let him guide you. Steve, you listen to God. I know you had a setback, but it's only a setup. God's not finished with you, Steve. It's only a setup for God to show off. Hallelujah. Come on, church. Lift your voice, for it reaches. Everybody.
To the highest.
Oh, yeah. Sing it out, church. Sing it out, church. It flows.
It flows. To the lowest valley,
the blood
that gives me strength,
that gives me strength
from day to day. It will never lose its power.
Would anybody be mad if I just obey the Holy Ghost real quickly?